So one of my producers was horrified to learn yesterday that she has 38 slaves working for her. She used a new tool commissioned by the State Department to calculate her slavery footprint. The online tool asks you what you eat, what kinds of clothes you buy, what gadgets you use, what's in your medicine cabinet, and what kind of jewelry you wear. And then it tells you how many slaves in the world are working to support your lifestyle. It's like your carbon footprint, but with people. And obviously, 38 slaves is 38 too many. So joining me to talk about how to calculate your slavery footprint, the problem of forced labor and human trafficking around the globe, there's some 27 million slaves estimated worldwide, according to the State Department, and what we can all do about it is Ambassador at Large Luis Cidi Baca. He is a senior advisor to the Secretary of State and directs the State Department's Office to Monitor and Combat Trafficking in Persons. Also joining us is Justin Dillon, the president of Slavery Footprint and the guy behind the online tool, which officially launches for public use tomorrow. Welcome, Justin. Welcome, Ambassador, to WNYC. Hello. It's
great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Ambassador, the online tool has that number, at least 27 million slaves worldwide. How are you defining slave?
Well, the Trafficking Victims Protection Act of 2000 and the United Nations Protocol Against Trafficking in Persons basically look at whether or not somebody's being held in compelled service. So it's involuntary servitude, someone who is not necessarily legal ownership anymore the way it was up until 149 years ago tomorrow. Tomorrow's the anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. It's not that kind of legal ownership anymore. It's the kind of self-help, as it were, by the employers, by the pimps. And so it's people
bonded labor.
Bonded labor, debt bondage, peonage, involuntary servitude. We've called it a lot of things over the years, but at the end of the day, what we're trying to explain is slavery.
What does that mean exactly, bonded labor?
So bonded labor is, again, a polite way of saying that somebody is enslaved because they have a debt. Here in the United States, we call it peonage. The Roosevelt administration, for instance, spent a lot of time and effort to try to break the backs of the bonded labor system in the South, which we called sharecropping. But it wasn't until 1947 that they were able to finally put an end to that. So, and it's back.
So let's talk about calculating our own slavery footprints. Justin, I looked at the app. It's easy to use. It's colorful. It's interactive. Mm. Tell us how the tool works, and once it goes live for the general public tomorrow, what they can do.
Well, the issue of slavery is hard for most people to personalize, but the reality is that you can't walk out of your house in the morning without using a product that was produced by forced labor and slavery. So what we did is, rather than try to create some calculator that only outputs bad news, we wanted to create something that would tell you a little bit more about what your lifestyle requires. So these questions about your medicine cabinet and your gadgets are all amalgamations of different products. So we took over 400 different consumer products, and through lots of different research, we were able to calculate what's the average likelihood of forced labor inside of each product. So you take a smartphone, it has a score of 3.2 people. You take gin, 0.9. We were able to vet all of this data, put it together in a very, as you said, easy-to-use survey that allows you to go through and count up how many people.
And the really disturbing thing, if we want to be really earnest and responsible about this and say, well, I'm going to shop and live in a way that doesn't enslave anybody, is that you get ensnared in this as soon as you do anything that seems kind of routine. Mm-hmm. My producer, who discovered that she has 38 slaves working for her, got tripped up on things like jeans and gold rings and beef products. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned smartphones and gin. How do we avoid it? What can we do?
Well, the purpose of the app is to stay brand agnostic at this point. I think to start targeting certain brands directly is a little bit too early. What we're trying to do with Slavery Footprint is to be able to amplify in the marketplace that people do actually have these values. First, they have to personalize the issue for themselves, but then they have to express and leverage their consumption. So by no means are we saying don't buy things. We're saying when you do buy things, use the app, download the app with it, and advocate and advertise that you are a market that is looking for slave-free products.
You know, it's interesting that in our historical work on this, this was done, you know, back in the 1800s. There was marketing done around sugar that was not made by slaves. And people in England voted with their pocketbooks for abolition by buying East Indian sugar instead of West Indian sugar. And I think it's a lot of what we're looking at with this app is getting back to that first principle, which is consumption patterns. People asking the question in the first place then is going to drive all of the folks that we've talked to in the business community who welcome this application as a way for them to hear from their consumers that they care about this. The business community is not going to respond to this unless someone tells them, I care about slavery.
Ambassador at Large Luis C. DiBacca from the United States State Department, Justin Dillon, president of the group Slavery Footprint, and the guy behind the new online tool which allows you to calculate your own slavery footprint. Anyone want to call in on this? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Do you have any questions about the problem of global human trafficking or forced labor? Maybe some of you have even seen in your own circles anybody who is a victim of this, who has worked in bonded labor or any kind of involuntary servitude, whether you're an immigrant or even some places here in the United States this goes on, including in New York. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For anybody who wants to say anything or ask a question about this, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And wow, our lines are filling up instantly. So it's a reflection, I think, of both the concern about this issue and the fact that it may be as extremely widespread as you say. Ambassador, what is your office at the State Department doing at the policy level, either to prevent American companies from participating in human trafficking and forced labor, or putting pressure on certain governments where, you know, the problem may be the most common in their countries? What are you doing?
Well, every year we look at all of the countries of the world to see what are the governments doing around 11 different parameters that are set out by Congress, the minimum standards to combat trafficking in persons. And how a government is doing then ends up being rated on a tier system. There's a way that we can sanction countries. There's a way that we can put pressure on them. But one of the big things that we found is just through good old-fashioned diplomacy, meeting with the ministers of justice, having programs out in those countries to train police and prosecutors, and to fund shelters. We're funding shelters around the world. Of course, the budget constraints right now, we took a budget cut, as did most parts of the government in the springtime. We're probably facing more. So we're trying to do more with less. But a lot of it comes down to the political will on the part of the government.
Knees in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I've listened to the report. I actually had a question. You guys may have addressed this in some capacity earlier, but I want to know more about what countries this slavery is happening in and exactly what capacity, you know, these slaves are being held, you know, by what are the means. I mean, we all know about the Gulf Arab states and Israeli sexual slavery, I mean, and, you know, African countries. I mean, what are the countries this is happening in mostly?
Do we accept those things, Gulf Arab states and Israeli sexual slavery, at face value?
We do. There's, you know, obviously, and if you look at the report, if you go to the State Department's website, the Trafficking Persons Office, the report's available. Each of those countries that we're looking at, in Israel, it's not just sex slavery, which is the stereotype, but there's also, you know, Thai workers in the fields. There's a very good set of prosecutors in Israel who are investigating and prosecuting these cases. In the Gulf, the United Arab Emirates has prosecuted more cases in the last couple of years than they did in the previous decade, because they finally got the new tools that they needed. But it's not just that part of the
world.
Which
is the caller's point. What are some of the other big ones?
Well, you know, one of the things that you'll see in the report this year is a focus on the Southeast Asia fishery, whether it's in Thailand, Malaysia, Burma, et cetera, that there's a real problem that we're starting to see in the shrimp industry and other parts of the fishery there, with mainly men who are either fleeing the regime in Burma or are basically kidnapped out of Cambodia with false promises. These guys are out on those boats. I think that we saw some research last year, 54% of the men interviewed that had escaped from those boats had seen a murder of one of their coworkers by the boat captains.
Why would you murder your own workers?
Well, if the worker's not doing what you want, and you're beating on them and they accidentally die, I didn't think that this is, one of the things in the
and it intimidates the
and
other
it
workers.
Intimidates the others. There's that notion of you really only have to be violent once and then remind everyone of it for the rest of the cruise.
I think that's one of the definitions of terrorism. Anu in Nassau County, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for bringing this topic up. I'm from India, and I'm wondering if there's a way to categorize child laborers. When I go back home, even when I'm driving on the streets, I see panhandlers, a lot of kids. I don't know if the Indian government has a way to count these kids, not just in factories, but, how did you, A, categorize children versus adults, and B, how would you do that in a country like India?
Yes, Justin, many of the slaves who were talking about, sadly, tragically, horribly, horrifically, are children. Mm-hmm. When you use the online tool, is there a way to calculate your slavery footprint even in terms of the percentage of children who are working for you?
Well, Luke can speak to this as well, but the definition that we're using for slavery on this application is anyone who's being forced to work without pay, under threat of violence, being economically exploited, and unable to walk away. Under that definition, that captures, sadly, quite a few people. But in regards to the distinction between willful child labor and forced child labor, Lou could speak more.
There's a big overlap. And one of the things that we've seen is that there are child labor remedies out there that are all kind of, we need to get them to school. And we do. We need to get options for the parents. And we do. But a lot of countries fall short on the notion that someone who enslaves a child needs to go to jail. Someone who denies someone else their freedom should lose theirs. And I think that that's one of the things that we see more and more is that response needs to have the criminal element that looks at the slavery aspect of
child
labor.
And to that point, we had a caller who couldn't wait on the line who asked my screener, why is it not illegal to buy or sell products that involve slave labor? Why doesn't the U.S. just outlaw those products?
Well, the Tariff Act of 1930 actually prohibits the importation of slave-made goods. One of the problems, of course, is how do you figure out whether or not something is a slave-made good?
Use Justin's tool.
You use Justin's tool, and you start asking the questions so that the companies get involved. My folks were in a shrimp processing factory in southern Thailand a year ago. And when they asked the workers some questions, they said, oh, yeah, we always, when you guys come, we always enjoy it because that's the day that they tell us not to bring our children to work. Mm. So the notion that the U.S. government, whether it's the Immigration and Customs Enforcement or the State Department, can go to those factories without them covering it up for the day that we visit, we're not going to be able to necessarily uncover the slavery. I think that it comes down to the companies have to be auditing. The companies have to know what's going on in their own factories.
We have a few minutes left to talk about this new slavery footprint tool with which you can calculate your own inadvertent slavery footprint, how many slaves work for you given the products that you buy in your normal rounds living in the United States, with Justin Dillon, president of the group Slavery Footprint and the guy behind this app, which launches tomorrow, and U.S. State Department Ambassador at Large Luis C. DiBacca, who is a senior advisor to the Secretary of State and directs her office to monitor and combat trafficking in persons. Before we run out of time, Justin, just on a very practical basis, mm-hmm. in this tool calculating our slavery footprints, one of the categories is jewelry, another one is makeup. People have likely heard about blood diamonds, but other precious gems and metals are central to this whole human trafficking network. Tell us how, and are there better kinds of metals or stones to buy?
There are, and it's getting better. We're just now starting to learn a lot more about this issue around gold in West Africa and whatnot, and there's starting to be some more attention on the smelters and where they go. The reality is we are so far from putting together a true bag and tag system that has compliance both at the artisanal mine level and then all the way to the smelters. What Slavery Footprint does, and to give people options, is that it's almost like if you build it, they'll come. We have to present that we want these, just like we said we wanted the Kimberley process for blood diamonds. The public has to start saying, no way am I going to buy something unless I know.
And in the meantime, is platinum better than gold? Are rubies better than diamonds?
Rubies are certainly not better than diamonds right now. They're about the worst.
And if you're buying makeup, what minerals should you avoid? And do companies ever post what minerals are in the makeup?
Makeup is actually one of the most difficult products we had to define because the finishing plants are all over Western and Eastern Europe. So we had a really hard time being able to determine the manufacturing chain of those.
How about clothing? Staying on the very practical. I've read that cotton is particularly bad. You give the statistic that 1.4 million children have been forced to work in Uzbek cotton fields, for example. That's more kids than in the entirety of the New York City public school system. So cotton?
Well, let's just be a message about cotton. Don't pretend that just because it's expensive, it has more ethical value to it.
Ambassador?
And also, just because it's got an organic label doesn't mean that it wasn't picked by an enslaved child.
Do we know that some cotton is and some cotton isn't associated with slave labor, or are you saying avoid cotton altogether and in favor of other fabrics, this is your concern?
The apparel manufacturers are really getting involved with this in a positive way, and mm-hmm. I think it's the kind of thing that we're hoping to drive with this app. We've seen more and more companies who are refusing to source from Uzbek cotton, and I think that there are various websites out there that talk about Uzbek cotton, and the companies that have refused to use it are listed there. We don't have time to go through the individual companies.
In fact, we don't have time for anything else except, Justin, for you to tell people how they can access this app. Is it both online and mobile?
Absolutely. We go live tomorrow on the 149th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, slaveryfootprint.org. And once you take your survey, the good news is the only way that you can make a difference is to leverage your consumption. We believe that a free market will free people. So use the app as you go out and buy things and leverage your consumption.
Ambassador at large from the U.S. State Department, Luis Sidibaca, Justin Dillon, the president of Slavery Footprint, thank you so much for doing this work and for coming on and talking about it here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, there are 193 foreign leaders in town for the UN General Assembly. They're making speeches, attending conferences, and, messing with our traffic. But while they're here, not every meal will be with other heads of state and governments. Not every afternoon will be spent listening to speeches. So today, for the last 10 minutes of our show, we're going to open up the phones for your suggestions for one thing that a head of state from anywhere should see in our area. If you're a tour guide, and primarily for your home country dignitary, where would you take him or her? So, folks, anything goes. It can be a museum, a concert, 212-433-WNYC. But we want immigrants from everywhere. Are you listening? Our callers from Ghana who call in, are you listening? Our callers from Pakistan who call in, are you listening? Our callers from the Dominican who call in. We want to know the one thing you would show the ambassador from your country of origin in the New York area while they're here. Our lines are open, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We've also set up a hashtag for this for Twitter, which is NYUNGuide, NYUNGuide. Use that hashtag, and we'll take your suggestions there, but also on the phones right now. What's the one thing you would show the ambassador from your country of origin that they don't know because they're from there? They're not from here. When he says, well, I live in New York now. New York is so amazing or so horrible. I want you to see 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We'll take your calls in a minute.